if you use gloves, you then touch your face or your mouth or eat, like that does not do anything. So I think sometimes gloves give people a false sense of security. Washing your hands is number one, like so important to actually wash your hands for 20 seconds, not touching your face. So the habits of like touching our nose or rubbing our eyes or like picking at our mouth, like those things, like really at this time, always you probably shouldn't do, but right now it's like the best way to protect yourself is just to avoid touching your mucosal membranes.
This is a real phone.
Hello.
Hello.
Dying of laughter.
It's not funny.
My mom has stage 4 cancer in her bones and in her breast. My dad's disease was 15 years. He died of ALS. I made a podcast about death. Seemed like the thing to do. And if you're sad by all of this, well, you're gonna die too.
Hey, so we're talking with a good friend of mine from college. She's extremely intelligent. She holds 3 degrees from USC, including her MD, MBA, and BA. We're going to be talking about her experience as an OBGYN resident in Las Vegas. We'll be keeping some of the details confidential for the sake of her patients and her experiences, but we wanted to include you guys in the conversation and get the perspective from a very intelligent and warm woman who is sitting with us here today via phone call. Thank you so much for chatting with us. I know you're going to work like ASAP. You're going to work at basically 5 o'clock. So we want to jump into it. So tell us a little bit about your experiences working as an OBGYN in Las Vegas during these times. How has your day-to-day been impacted by COVID-19?
All right. So it's interesting because as an OBGYN, the area of obstetrics hasn't changed much because, you know, people are still going to have babies. People still go into labor. Prenatal visits are super important. So people are still coming in for that. And we're encouraging everyone to still come in for those visits. So in some sense, that hasn't changed. What part of our practice that has changed a lot is the gyn aspect. So we're not doing any elective cases right now, no elective surgeries at all. And a lot of the issues that people do come for gyn office appointments are really important, but kind of can wait. So people aren't necessarily coming in to get their new IUD or talk about new birth control. They're not as concerned about like their heavy periods. So they're waiting off on some of those types of visits that are maybe less time sensitive. So our volume for gynecology is down, but OB is still kind of just goes steady since, you know, it's just the nature of OB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like, yeah, I had an appointment with a urologist the other week and they were like, hey, can we move this? I was like, no problem. And now they actually called me and said they can do some appointments virtually. I'm wondering, have you done any appointments virtually or you're still in person?
So I'm actually on a committee for my residency that is launching our telemedicine. Our practice model traditionally doesn't use telemedicine in OBGYN at where I'm at, but we have to adapt because we're not sure how long this will be going for. Some of the first people in my group have been seeing people through telemedicine, like a professional Zoom software. So it's coming up. I've been on meetings about how we can implement it and kind of use the technology and still use our staff to serve our patients. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those things that usually like takes many months to start and kind of get going. But because of, you know, COVID, we're really like ramping it up fast. So I'm excited to see it being implemented like throughout the whole department soon.
Good for you. That's really cool that on top of everything else, you're taking on that initiative. I wonder with gynecology, if that would mean there's some kind of virtual thing you could do with a camera, like even taking a picture of what's going on of your vagina. Is that something that is being discussed? I know with privacy, that's its own issue, but I'm just curious if that's being addressed as well.
I don't anticipate that like that will be the main use of the software. and like taking pictures of like your genitals, it seems like not like, I think if there's something really going on there, you need to come in, mm-hmm. To have it looked at. But I think we'll be using it more for consultation. So like talking about if you have abnormal discharge, like you don't necessarily need to see it, but we can discuss what it looks like, if it has an odor, and then we can always send a lab slip. So you can go to the lab, give samples, give urine, whatever you need, and then we can get the results and give you a call back. Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't necessarily see it being like super explicit.
Right. That makes sense. So my next question is, for the sake of time, what is one thing that you have found really challenging around these times? And what is one thing that's perhaps uplifting or inspiring in some way, if that exists?
Yeah, no, of course. I think what's really hard is that women in labor are able to have one person there, which is, you know, there was a big discussion in New York at the time. They were saying nobody, and some hospitals across the country were saying like no one could be with you in labor. And I think most people are still letting one person be there, but even picking one person is hard. Like, you have your partner or your mom, but you can't have both, which is like, you know, having to pick is unfortunate. And then you can't switch them out either. It's just like that one person the whole time. And then as soon as the baby's born, your like partner or your mom, whoever was with you, has to leave. And so your whole postpartum stay, you know, that could be 1 to 3 days, depending on if you're like vaginal or C-section, you're alone, and no visitors are allowed. And I think that's really isolating and really hard for a new mom. There's patients that have twins, and like they're trying to like take care of both the babies in the room without any help. Like it's a lot. And it's a lonely time. People kind of just want to leave the hospital. And I definitely understand that. So what I try to do is when I'm doing my rounds, I'm working nights this month. So I do like postpartum rounding, and I just spend like extra time with my patients. I recognize that they're lonely. They haven't talked to really anybody other than their nurse all day, who is busy doing lots of things. So I have some extra time. I'll sit and talk, and we'll just chat.
That's so nice of you. I mean, what is that like, being the one who has to even deliver that news to certain, you know, young moms and just moms in general? Like, do people kind of know by now? Are people still surprised? Are they upset? Like, how has that experience been like for you?
I think like most pregnant women are pretty aware right now. And even for people who are not quite ready to deliver, it's something they're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's something people ask me about. It's unsettling. Labor is scary. And like doing anything, any part of it by yourself is scary. So people are aware. But I think, you know, the points of tension become when like the partner wants to leave, and then like the mom wants to come in, and we're like, no, like, sorry, that can't, happen. But thankfully, as the doctor, I try not to be part of those, kind of discussions. And there's other people in the hospital staff that take care of like security and like the rules and all that. And I try to just be my patient advocate and be like, oh, it's not, I don't know. I wish they could come, mm-hmm. but like, it's out of my control.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Well, good for you. I mean, I can't even imagine. I know we've talked about this before. I'm like, I can't even imagine delivering a baby. I mean, obviously I shouldn't. I'm underqualified. That would be absolutely terrifying for everyone involved, but much less everything going on now. I mean, I just have so much respect for what you're doing and what healthcare workers are doing. Like, it's kind of mind blowing. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
Of course. I think it's everyone. It's doctors, nurses, but everyone else who works in the hospital. I mean, from people who work in the cafeteria to people who are like cleaning the room, especially with just a COVID patient. It takes an hour and a half to properly sanitize like a small hospital room. Wow. So people are working really hard, I think people are really putting themselves at risk by going to work, and then bringing it home to their families mm-hmm. is kind of the scariest part of it all. Like that idea that like, yeah, I chose to go into this, thus I'm exposed. But you know, I never really thought about exposing like my family mm-hmm. to something like that and having very little control over that.
Right.
That's hard.
So your husband is in the medical field in dentistry. What mm-hmm. has that been like, you know, in terms of bringing it home to him? Because I know he's not able to do dentistry right now. Is he on board? You know, how would that conversation come to be? And do you have other colleagues with, you know, kids that isn't juggling this kind of conversation with their own families?
Yeah, my husband has been extremely supportive. He's like, you know, not, doesn't seem fazed by it. He says, you know, you have to do what you have to do.
He's the best.
Yeah, he's great. I'm really lucky. And I do things like I shower and I, like, you know, as soon as I get in, I don't bring my scrubs inside, all that kind of stuff. So I take the precautions, but mm-hmm. Yeah, we're both definitely taking a risk. And, you know, he's not able to see his family either because he is exposed to me and my exposure isn't ending. Like, I keep going in every day, so there's like no end point to when I'm stopped being exposed. Mm-hmm. So I think that's hard. Probably the hardest part for him is that he is now like exposed and thus pretty alone. Because mm-hmm. I go to work, so he's staying home. But for me, I'm still working, you know, close to my 80 hours a week. My schedule has not changed.
That is just so many hours. I know you've said that to me before, and it's just so impressive. Is that your usual amount? And is there more hours that people have to work because of COVID? Is any of that affected, or it's kind of just business as usual?
So 80, like 65 to 80 is like the norm. Mm-hmm. Most weeks I'm between like 70 and 75. Mm-hmm. And that's before and after COVID. Depending on your specialty and your year, some people have dialed back, so some like are working less. I'm not one of those people. Like, as a OBGYN, like our volume for obstetrics does not change. So we're still going in as much.
Wow.
Well, at least my program, yeah.
That's amazing. How do you have time to, you know, practice any self-care, and how do you take care of yourself during times like this when your, you know, anxiety levels are perhaps higher than usual? Is there some kind of practice or routine that you're able to, you know, take for yourself? I'm just curious.
Yeah, so I use exercise as my form of like anxiety management, and I have for a long time. And throughout residency and especially COVID times, like, I haven't given that up. So even though things are like kind of crazy, like, I make sure I make like 45 minutes a day to exercise. So either I run and then like I do yoga. I've been doing a lot of like this kind of online on demand classes mm-hmm. From my living room. So, which is, yeah, I think keeping that routine is super important and just kind of gives me clarity. So it's not all just like a jumble in my mind.
Yeah, good for you. Talk about having no excuse over here. Like, next time I'm like, oh gosh, I just can't work out. It's like, then you think about what people like you are doing. But it's almost like what they say, though, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. Like, having the routine and structure, I think, makes it of going in a way is helpful. I mean, obviously I can't compare because I've never been in your situation, but it's just like people are struggling with, you know, that are not working right now. It's like, getting up and, you know, not sleeping in. I think that's its own sort of mental challenge for a lot of people right now too.
Definitely. Yeah. No, I'm lucky. I feel, you know, my colleagues and I, we actually discuss like we're social creatures and, we're thankful, even though, I mean, yeah, going to work is scary because we're exposed, that you can't like take that away, mm-hmm. but also like I still have my work and I still am like socializing with people, like seeing my patients, like seeing my colleagues. Like, so for me, life hasn't changed as drastically as it has for some other people mm-hmm. or most people, if you think about it, but it's a balance.
For sure. And it's almost weird to say, but it almost feels, you know, now that we're several weeks in, you know, those first couple weeks, or especially the first week, like I had so much anxiety. So many people did. I was just like day to day, just, you know, it was like just a shock every day. And now, you know, I still have those moments, but there's also moments of normalcy. So I'm curious of what kinds of advice you would have for the general public right now, especially those who are finding some routine or some acceptance in the working from home, in all the changes. Like, I'm not happy. No, people aren't happy about this, but do you know what I mean? By some people, it almost feels like a little bit normal. Do you have any, you know, nuggets of wisdom about like how to keep staying safe? And yeah, I guess what comes to mind with
I think what we're doing is, and you know, the whole stay at home orders it, and flattening the curve is working. When you look at the data, it shows that it is having an impact. And New York has been hit so hard, but the rest of the country has really been able to lock down pretty efficiently. And we're seeing that it works. So I think keeping going with that is important. Pitfalls of staying at home, it's like having your friends come over who you're not quarantining with, like doing it correctly. You shouldn't be exposing yourself to different people, even if it's within your own home. So I think that may be one of the areas to work on for some people who aren't actually like kind of staying with the same group. And I think finding what you were talking about before, finding the routine is really is important. Like, I think like in different parts of life, we have different things that we enjoy doing. Like working out from home has never been one of those things for me. But I kind of think of it as like, this is going to be a phase we're going to look back on and be like, well, for this period of time, like I did online classes on a computer screen in my living room. And that's like, and you adapt. Right. And the ability to adapt is a strength and something we can work on. And people are having to adapt so much right now. Like everything we are used to is changed. Everything we're comfortable with was taken away. So it is now we're going into the few weeks into it. The anxiety is calming a bit. Shock is, you know, washing over. And now it's time to say, okay, well, like, we don't know how much longer this will go. It's like mid-April right now, and they're talking about extending it through May, maybe. Who knows, right? So what's the new norm going to be? We're not going to suffer through it the whole time. Let's make it work for us.
Absolutely agree. I mean, it's so important to have those moments of positivity, even if they're few and far between, you know, just like if I'm feeling positive, even for a moment, I really try and take that in like, wow, okay, this is better than last week when I wasn't feeling positive at all. So I appreciate you saying that too. In terms of the extension till May, you know, me being in Los Angeles, and I know you have friends in Los Angeles, that's definitely extended till mid-May, but certain industries, specifically I know entertainment, is definitely talking about extending it much past that. Do you think it'll be in waves of certain groups coming back one at a time? I'm curious like what the medical community thinks about when social distancing will kind of I don't want to say end, but it'll start to happen in waves. Is that what they think, or I'm curious what you think about that?
I haven't really heard much from specifically like the medical community about releasing the like the restrictions. I've read about like how Beijing has done it. And like they did it in a stepwise fashion. It wasn't like all one day everything was open. The way they're doing it, they're like checking people's temperature to go into any restaurant or store still. Like there's seating restrictions in restaurants. So it seems like a gradual response is probably going to be what we do if we follow China's footsteps in that. But it's hard to say, you know, for sure what's going to happen. And so much of it is government regulation rather than like necessarily scientific or evidence-based.
Yeah, I think that sounds, that all makes sense. I'm like, look, if we have to take temperatures, great. That's something easily accessible. It's like, why not? It's not that hard to do. And if that means people can go back to certain jobs or restaurants and the economy can benefit, then I'm all for that. just, I know we'll wrap up in a few minutes, but to switch gears for a second, for girls who are needing new birth control or switching birth control or having questions about birth control, that seems like something that would take up a lot of an OBGYN's time. Would you recommend girls perhaps not reach out to their OBGYN about stuff like that? Or is it better to just do it over email, their online systems, as opposed to going in? Is there any kind of quick tips that would be beneficial to your communities that girls in the public can listen to?
Yeah, I think if your OBGYN or your like primary doctor is offering telemedicine like or phone calls, I think birth control is an awesome like example of how we can use telemedicine to discuss and like order what kind of birth control you'd like. I think that for the next 2 weeks, probably, you know, coming in for birth control, unless it's there's an a situation that's, you know, out of your control, I'd probably recommend against it. I think usually we can talk about it on the phone, even if you want to do something like an IUD or an Nexplanon, and we can do that in a few months. But for right now, you know, there's pills, there's patches, there's the NuvaRing. So there's a lot of options we can use for now. And there's a great website I recommend to all my patients. It's called bedsider.org. And it is physician written, talks about different types of birth control. There's no like religious bias to it. It's all facts, and it's a great resource. So if someone's kind of thinking about what they'd want, it's a great way to start doing some research on your own before you reach out to your doctor.
Cool. Bedsider.org. I will. That's super helpful. Is there any other site or recommendation you would have for the public? Like, is there like certain vitamins or immune system or just tips or tricks for people listening that you wish that the general public knew right now with everything that you're going through?
So I think the main things for boosting your immune system is eating a healthy diet, which is hard to do when you have all like the junk food in your home all day. So like overeating is definitely it's part of just being home. It's normal, yeah. But trying to keep healthy vegetables and fruits in your diet is awesome. Getting exercise is extremely important. I know of a doctor and an emergency physician in New York who had COVID. I mean, she didn't get super sick, but she had symptoms. And even through her whole sickness, she made time to work out a little bit each day because of how good it is for your immune system.
Wow.
So just staying active, eating well, taking care of your body. These are the best things you can do.
What site are you, have you found a certain site for your at-home workouts that you prefer? Are you doing ClassPass? Are you doing like, you know, a certain thing that you like the best, or just kind of jumping around to different sites?
The two I'm mostly doing is Lit Method. They have like a month free with a code on their website, and it's like low impact, high intensity. So I really like that. Good calorie burn, easy on your joints. And they're 20 minute videos. So you can pair a few of them together. I'll do like a cardio one and then like a legs and then an abs. So it's fun. And then also Core Power has some free yoga classes. So I did one of those earlier today. I did like a yoga sculpt, and that was great.
Nice. Thank you for those recs. That's super helpful.
Of course.
I would absolutely trust like anything that you recommend. I'm like, yep, writing it down, done and done. I can't believe you. I can believe, but just the fact that you have 3 degrees just perpetually blows my mind that that's a normal thing for you and all your colleagues and friends. And you completed those 3 degrees by age 27. I want to say, is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Okay, let me just stare at myself in the mirror for the rest of the night in disbelief, just while my jaw drops to the floor. No big deal. Okay, I'm totally embarrassing you. You're probably like, why are you saying this? But I'm complimenting you. Okay, you're amazing. I think that's all the questions that I had. I think this was a helpful glance into what it's like in your life right now, and I appreciate it. And you know, there's so many people that I know that don't have any friendships or relationships with anyone in the medical world that I think will really benefit from just hearing a snapshot into your life.
Awesome. I'm glad this was really fun. I'm glad we got to catch up too.
What time do you go into work, and how, so yeah, what are your hours tonight? I'm curious.
So I'm 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
No. What?
Yeah.
And you do, and this is just a normal thing for you. Like you do that all the time.
Yeah. This is, I do it 4 months of the year. Month long chunks. Yeah.
What? Every day? Like, okay, 6 p.m., 6 a.m., then you go home and you go to sleep at 7 a.m.?
I work like 5 to 6 days a week when I'm on nights. And then when we're on days, I work 12 shifts in a row, 12 days in a row, and then I have 2 days off and then 12 days in a row.
How in the world? I mean, this is just blowing my mind. I so appreciate people like you. Thank gosh for you. What would we do without people like you that were just cool enough to be like, yeah, no big deal. That's my job. That's what I do. People in your hospital right now, are some people being really positive? Are some people still feeling it? Is it a heavier vibe, or is it business as usual when you go in, would you say?
I think like last week was really heavy. Like for everyone, like when we didn't have PPE readily available yet, it was like super kind of stressful and people felt it. Now things have, you know, things are feeling better. I think we feel like we're coming around one of the corners. Mm. I think people are positive. People are supporting each other. We're in it together. Like we're, you know, you look at the person you're with and you're like, well, we're here, we're doing it. So it's like, there's some camaraderie in it. And I think that it's always good to have, you know, people to support you. And I think overall people are positive.
That's really great. That is fantastic. Have you had to deliver a baby for a patient of COVID, or is that actually not, maybe it doesn't matter because they're your patients no matter what. And is there a way to, what is that like?
So we're not testing people unless they have symptoms. Mm-hmm. I haven't delivered anyone who's like COVID positive. But we, you know, also my patients are really young. Like they're mostly in their 20s, healthy, no comorbidities. So they could have COVID. Like that's the whole thing with it, is that you have asymptomatic carriers. Mm-hmm. And we have people on our floor, like nurses, physicians who have tested positive. So presumably they've gotten it from a patient, you know, that they're working with. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard because we're not testing everyone if you're not symptomatic. So mm-hmm. I wear an N95 mask when I'm delivering. In the second stage of labor, the virus aerosolizes, similar to intubation or bronchoscopy. So we're protecting ourselves in that late part of labor.
That's great. And you think people should definitely wear masks and gloves and continue all of these practices? I mean, it must make a difference, it wouldn't be recommended for nothing. So you think that masks and everything is still very important?
Yeah, masks are important. So masks prevent your germs basically from getting out to the rest of the world. And then I think, you know, gloves, fine. If you're using them correctly, I think that's if you use gloves and then like you then touch your face or your mouth or eat, like that does not do anything. So I think sometimes gloves give people a false sense of security. Mm. Washing your hands is like number one, like so important to actually wash your hands for 20 seconds. And then not touching your face. So the habits of like touching our nose or rubbing our eyes or like picking at our mouth, like those things, like really at this time, always you probably shouldn't do. But right now, it's like the best way to protect yourself is just to avoid, you know, touching your mucosal membranes, because that's how you get sick too. So.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I know we're at 5:04 and you have to go to work. I really appreciate these tips and just reiterating the little things that you've said, and also, you know, offering that you do feel like there's been some kind of corner being rounded. I sort of feel that too. Obviously, there's a long way to go, but that's still nice to hear. And I just wanted to say thank you, and I appreciate you and what you're doing. And I can't believe you're going to work for 12 hours. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. It was great talking. Okay. Let's talk soon.
Thank you. Have a good shift.
Bye. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye.